First Peter, first chapter, beginning at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Again, Father, we'd ask, Lord, that you just anoint these lips. And Lord, just bring forth the message that we need here this morning. Lord, we depend upon you completely, for we're nothing. We just ask, Father, that you'll touch our hearts and deliver unto us through the power of the Holy Spirit that which we need here this morning. Take us, Lord, and use us. For it's in his precious name that we ask you. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ recognized the power of the Father. He recognized the grace that God had bestowed upon all men, that we could be begotten, that we could be born again. I was thinking that probably there is nobody in this world today that doesn't have a vision of some sort or a feeling that there's more to this life than we see. You talk to people, although they're not Christian, they may not believe in God, they may be heathens, but yet even those people have something in it, because it's constantly, you see, I don't know about you, but we're constantly looking forward to something, and we really don't know what. The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we can see that there is something beyond this life. There's a driving force of something. Well, the Bible calls it the soul of man. When God breathed into man, he breathed in there a life, a soul, something that was far beyond this physical body. It was beyond flesh and blood, It was beyond communication with each other or anything like that. Our daily lives, as we go about, we do this and that and the other. But someplace deep down, there's something, there's a driving force that you just can't put your finger on. You just can't exactly touch it. We don't know what it is. Well, the doctors, the hospitals and all this, there's a word for this thing that we can't see, and it's called life. Nobody can put their finger on life. Without the breath, the air, the blood, and all these things that go into the body that makes it up, we have no life. If any of it stops, you die. But that part that I'm talking about does not die with this physical death. It does not. It goes on. It's beyond this thing that we're talking about. It's amazing. You know the flowers, you go out in the fields and you look around and you see these beautiful flowers and all that that fall the season, but they live for a season and then they're gone. They're dried up and they fall over and are gone. But you know, by faith, we believe that next spring, when the spring rains come, these little flowers that are all dead and gone are going to pop forth again, and they're going to reproduce, and they're going to be beautiful again. The same with this soul that I'm talking about. This part that God gave us, it lives within this body that we carry around today. And as I asked you a while ago, is there anybody in here that's well? There's not. Every one of us has got defects. We've got problems that probably got one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. Ready to go. We are. It could happen at any day. I myself, as you all know, had a very bad heart attack. Okay. And it was that close to eternity. And since that time, I felt pretty good, you know. But I know by experience and by the way things work in the bodies today that it could happen just like that again. Just that quick. But this old body would be gone. They'd take me down to the place over here or someplace and I'd look at the pretty little flowers from the wrong side up. And you all come around and said, "Does he look natural?" Some would walk by and say, "Boy, there lays a good man, not too many then." Others would walk by and say, "That scoundrel, I wonder if he made it." But you know, that's all up to God. But you know, we know that sooner or later, that's going to be in each and every one of us. That we're going to face that time, that we're going to lay down this body, and we're going to go on. Well, we've been warned, we've been taught, we've been shown a way that this soul of man will not die. It's there in the black and white. It's there in the printed versions of the Bible. It's there all over. And you can see it all around and about you. God has instilled in each and every one of us a soul that will never, never die. Amen?
Amen.
It will not die. That soul, that breath that God breathed into us, into the man, and he became a what? A living soul. He became a living soul that will live forever. Eternal life? Promised eternal life? Yeah, absolutely. But where? You see, that's the question. Where will we spend eternity? Every one of us, every creature, everything, every person that God has ever made is going to spend an eternity somewhere. And it's our choice where. That's what he was trying to tell Peter as he was talking to there. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven.
You see, God has made a place. He's got this plan that this soul that he breathed into man is going to return to him. That is his plan. He's got it that we're going back into a place, and I don't know what it looks like. The Bible gives us just a brief description of it. How beautiful it is and how perfect it is. Undefiled, uncorruptible. There'll be no sin there. There'll be no problems there. You won't have to worry about anything. Ain't no. As I left the house this morning, we got ready to come to church. And we go through a ritual every time we walk out the door. Well, first of all, I got to change keys, to get rid of my truck keys and get car keys. Yeah, they're in a little tray. If you want it, they're in a little tray right there by the door. So you can, if you come up to visit, you can get them. But we gotta make sure that you got the right key. You walk outside the door, and I got 1, 2, 3 locks and an alarm to set. So I go through the procedure there, locking up the doors and setting the alarm, getting everything ready, close the door, and I said, is the garage door open? Got the garage doors open. So we go around to get in the car, which we lock now because you know that story too. But anyhow, we go around to get in the car, and the car's locked, floor, stand there looking at the door. I reach in my pocket, I got truck keys. So I go back to the door and I start unlocking the door and turn off the alarm, go back in and get the key, switch around. But you see, that's all forgotten. That is not going to be necessary. How wonderful it was back in my childhood day when down in Wallace everybody knew each other. There was no doors locked. They didn't even have a lock on the door. And people would come and go as they pleased. You didn't have to worry about anybody stealing from you. The only thing you had to worry about was them loading a bunch of garden stuff into your kitchen. They would do this. They would come around and just load you up, you know, bring you something or what have you. And I never forget that sometimes, you know, when people would, and they didn't announce it, get on the phone, didn't have any phones. But they wouldn't say, I'm coming over tonight for a visit or something like that. And they would just show up, you know, and come in. And if you weren't home, they left you a calling card. Remember that? You remember that? When we come back from wherever we was, I don't know, it wasn't very far. But when we come back, there was a chair sitting on top of the kitchen table. Yeah, one of the chairs sitting on top of the table. And said, yep, our friends from over the country were here. See, they knew. The doors weren't locked. They didn't have to worry about things being gone. But they knew that they'd had a calling. Yeah. Some had been there. But this was how peaceful and common it was. If you went to a neighbor's house and you got it doing something wrong, they'd whoop you. Your neighbors would do it, yes. Things were so simple. No locks. No doors. Everybody trusted each other because we knew that there was nobody in that neighborhood around there would do you harm. They'd do you good. If you needed help, they were there. If your animals were out, they'd put them back in. They didn't ask you or call you and say, hey, you got a problem. No, they took it upon themselves. You see, that's the way he's talking about. Things are perfect. In heaven, everything will be right. Just as it was once in the garden. He says, undefiled. Then he goes ahead and he says there, wherein ye greatly rejoice for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Temptations, yes, temptations, trials. This he goes on to speak of the trial. You've heard this morning here of those people that are going through trials here upon this earth with the sicknesses, with all these things that are falling upon us, that we can just almost be devastated by them. It's such a load to carry. But you know, God knows all about it. And even in our trials and in our temptations, when all these things keep poured upon us, and we think we can't make it, we can always say, praise God. Can you praise God when you're in this low, when you're in your temptations, when you're on the bottom, when you feel like the whole world collapsed and falling upon you, when you don't know which way to turn? Can you look up and say, praise you, Lord, I know it's for your good. It's for our good. This is a testing. This is a time. But when this test is over, praise God, however how it ends, God will be glorified if we remain faithful to Him and praise His holy name, even in times of trouble. Yes, that's what He's saying. It comes upon us. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. He's telling us that sometimes we, as individuals, have got to be tried, have got to be tested. We carry baggage on us, we carry faults, we carry this thing and that thing around on us. And when He puts us through the test of fire, it burns off all of the gold. You know, this is something that I never even thought about, but I was reading a little bit about it. And I said, gold, even gold, perishes. It does. Yeah, we got a gold ring on this morning. Yeah. See that little gold ring you got on there? Hey, you keep wearing it, and pretty soon it ain't gonna be there. It's gonna have worn off and fell off because it wore together. Even gold perishes. Gold. That gold that was tested, that was put into the fire, that was brought to a point that all the dross in it, all those impurities in that gold was burned off, was skimmed to the top and cast away. Even that gold perished. But your soul, like that gold, may be tested by the fire, but it will not perish. Not one little bitty part of the soul that God gives each and every one of us will perish. It will not. It will go on through eternity. Yes, it will. So you see, when we suffer these things that we really don't understand, we don't know why all these things have fallen upon us. That said, Lord, well, why can't we just live a normal life and just all of a sudden just gone? That would be good, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have to worry about sicknesses or hospitals or rest homes or taking care of one another, and we wouldn't have to worry about that because we'd just be gone in an instant. But you see, that testing is for God's purpose. He tests us, He puts it upon us because we were tried at that goal. But let me tell you, if while you're going through this test, this problems and all these things that we go through, if you'll keep the faith to believe that this is God's plan for me, yes, although I don't like it and it hurts and I don't understand it, but praise God, you have a reason for it. Continue, Lord, whatever it be. Ooh, that's hard to say, isn't it? That's hard to say when we don't know what to do, when we're on the flat of our back and all that. But if we can just say, praise God, I know it's for a reason. I know that you needed to put me through this so that I would be a better person. So that when you come, the calling of the church, I'll be ready. Because you know, with all that baggage that I had on me, it might have slowed me down. It just might have been something that kept me from going through. It might have been something I had to answer for. So you see, the testing comes.
In all of these things that we've talked about here this morning, we see Jesus Christ that made the way to an eternal home with God. The only way, Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He's the one that paved the way for you and I. We've not seen Him. The verse says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice. Wow. People think we're crazy, Christians. We come out here and assemble ourselves together and do a lot of talking and a lot of singing and a lot of whatever. For what? What do they see? If you talk to some unbeliever out there on the street, they walk in and you say, what's the matter with these people? What do they see that I can't see? We can see Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can see Him. These are the things that keep us lifted up. Folks, I can't tell you because you know. You know the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You know the power of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't make it without Him. He keeps us, He lifts us up. He keeps us even when we're down, sick, or what have you. He keeps us on that. If we keep our hands in His hands, if we allow Jesus to control those people out there in the world, when these things come upon them, they don't have this. They don't have this assurance. They don't have. We count it a joy to be tested, to be tried. We count it a joy because you think you've got it tough. You think you've got it rough. You think you're going through things that you can't handle. Well, you just think about the night that Jesus Christ was alone there in that garden. When He was alone there, all the world had turned against Him. For all the goodness that He's done didn't count. They were there to crucify Him. He knew it. Because God's plan was that He died. That He paid the price for you and I. And as He was there all alone, it hurt. It hurt because He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Yes. Let it pass. How many times in our sickness, in our whatever comes upon us, have we said to God, let this cup pass from me. I don't like it, Lord. I don't like the suffering. I don't like the all this that's come upon me. Let it pass. Let it pass from me. Or can we truly look up to God and say, Lord, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know why all of this testing. I don't know why all these problems have come upon me. I don't know why all this. But you have the answer, Lord. And you know the best for me. Let me praise God in the times of sorrow, in the times of trouble, in all these times, let's lift up our hands and praise God and say, Lord, I do it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What? Not for the testing, not for the trouble, not for all this, but knowing that in the end, we will see Jesus. We will see Him as He is. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like unto Him. Resurrected, new body, new life, to go into a glory that we can't even begin to imagine.
Yes.
We'll have our problems here.
Yes, we'll be tried. Yes, people of the world will come at us from all sides, try to attack our Christianity, try to attack our faith, try to make us unbelievers. But they can't touch us. Untouchable.
They cannot touch us, so because it been when God saved your soul in the past, He lifted you out, He forgave your sins, He took care of, He set you on the solid rock in the past.
In the present,
He keeps you.
He keeps you from all unrighteousness.
He'll take you to it.
Yes, it'll be all around you. It'll be all around you, but He will keep you from it.
Present. Future.
He will take you home to be with Him, to live with Him forever and ever and ever.
Amen. That is it. That is the end. Where the soul never dies.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? God was thinking of a man to do all this for me. If not, I would have been lost. But through Jesus Christ and His grace, God sent His Son to take care of the sin that I've done. He took care of every one of us. And He's ready to take care.
Cheer up, my friend! There's better days are coming. Yes. Yes, there is. There's brighter days to come. We're feeling, whoa, I talked about a while ago of when I first came into your church, how many people we had in here and how many of those people I've seen drop away.
Just right down the line. It just seems like that we're just going one by one by one. Well, praise the Lord. He's gaining. You know, we might be losing here, but He's gaining there. Praise the Lord.
While ago, I was sitting back there when the little girl came up and lit the candles. And
I don't know if did that or not.
She lit the candles and they burned real nice like that. And all of a sudden, this one over here went way down. You couldn't see any flame in it at all. All you could see was just a little red spark around the top. And I said, uh-oh, that's going out. You know what? It snapped back. Just like that, the flame come up and burned right. I said, well, I'll be darned. I looked at the other one over there, and it was burning good. It done the same thing. It went down till there was just a little tiny spark in it.
Yeah, I thought my bulb was out.
I thought, oh, it's gone. And I watched it, and pretty soon, bang, she come on just like that, just in an instant.
It came on
bright and shiny.
So beautiful, church folks.
Yes.
Candles on this side, candles on that. People on this side, people on that side. We might grow weak. We might grow to a point that it seems like there's just a teeny, teeny spark there. There's just a little bitty spark, but hang on! It'll snap. You'll see the fire came back. You'll see that flame again, once again, bright. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Just as these candles snap back, so will God's church. One day, they'll be breaking down the doors of this sanctuary to get in when the church is gone. Yes. Yes. But work hard. Pray much. Because we want to see that light blue again. With that bright, shiny, just as it is right now. It'll happen. If we put this tab faith, we may get down to the point that we can't hardly see it. But it'll come back. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this your people. Lord, we pray that as we go through these trials and these temptations here of this life, Give us the courage and the faith, Lord, to look forward, to look ahead and know, Lord, that it is your will in our life, that we are being tested and we are being tried as the gold in the fire. Help us, Lord, to, even in our bad times, just to thank you, Lord, and to praise you for what you're going to do. We ask you, God, to be with our little church. And Lord, as we seem to be dwindling like the candle, we pray, Lord, that your fire of the Holy Spirit will glow brighter than ever before. Help us, Lord. Take each one of us. Use us.